Hey, this is Eve Miles, and you're listening to the Infamous Podcast.
Hey, we're back with another special Tuesday interview, this time with Not-So-Super Comics creator Jacques Niem. In this interview, Jacques and I sit down and we talk about what it's like to create indie comics, what he's working on building as not only a comic book writer, but as a facilitator to a growing community of artists and like-minded individuals. He's really interesting. He has an awesome story. So make sure you guys check it out and listen in to the whole thing. And and then make sure you check out his stuff at Not So Super Comics. It's notsosupercomics.com. It's on Facebook. He has an open community. Well, it's a closed community, but anyone can join, called Not So Super Comics or Not So Super Labs. And so here's Jacques.
Hey guys, it's Brian from the Infamous Podcast. We're here with another Tuesday episode with another interview from another comic book creator. I have with me
Jacques Niem.
Jacques Niem. He is the creator of Not So Super Comics. It's not just a book or even a series of books. What he's doing is actually creating a comic book community for creators, journalists, podcasters like me, artists, writers. It's really kind of awesome, and I want him to share his story. He has a really interesting story, but also to share his vision for what comics really are for people, not just comic book fans. Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Thank you for having me on your show, Brian.
Yeah, I appreciate it. We've been having conversations on Facebook for a few years now. When you were with
Comic Booked, comics used to write. Yeah,
that's right. We had that whole like crossover thing with sciencefiction.com, and kind of became buddies. So I really appreciate you taking the time out to sit down and chat with me.
Oh, no problem. No problem at all. It's my pleasure.
So real quick, just give me your like elevator pitch, like, you know, waiting for an Uber pitch of what Not So Super Comics is, and then expand on a little bit and you know, just kind of let the listeners know what, you know, the plan is, because I feel like it's pretty ambitious, and, you know, indie creator, indie comics, things like that, those labels, you kind of want to move beyond that, because like I said in the open, you're planning a community here. Mm-hmm. So, I'll let you explain it.
I appreciate it. I appreciate the compliment. And it is an ambitious, undertaking. I will tell you that much. But so far, Not So Super really is a comic book company that was really founded just to create comics that anyone can enjoy. I wanted to make books that kids, adults, it didn't matter who, can pick up a book and just enjoy it for the first time like we did when we were younger. But I wanted to create something new. It was created Not So Super because it was more like a dig to Marvel and DC, because I didn't want it to be cape and tights. And, you know, even though I love them, I wanted to create something new, a new, interesting, different stories that just pop in my head and try to get people to enjoy it and just see a fresh new take. And also quality independent comics. So I wanted to create something that when you look at it, you will not know if it's made by me and one person wrote everything, and a whole bunch of various artists are working together to make this thing happen. And going back to the plan, the long view of where I'm trying to be, I want to be more than just a salesperson of comics and not contribute. A lot of people like myself, when I first started this thing, it was a scary thing to try, because I've never created comics before, and I didn't have a large group of friends online to help me like figure out some of the issues and the pitfalls, you know. And it wasn't because people were closed, but it's because there wasn't really a chance to connect to with people. And so I'm trying to be the person I wish I saw when I was starting this thing. So I want to offer people that opportunity to share. And that's what Not So Super Labs, which is the Facebook group that I've created recently, is an opportunity for various creators and people who want to be in comics, even customers and people who enjoy comics and don't make it, but want to know the behind the scenes to have the opportunity to do so.
Yeah. The Not So Super Labs has been a lot of fun. Again, thank you for the invite to that community.
No problem.
You know, I did enjoy the little flame war that you tried to start.
I tried, but everybody's so polite.
A little bit, didn't it? there was a lot of love. So people know Jocka wanted to find out what people liked better, print or digital, and he was hoping for, like, you know, a battle royale style, and everyone was pretty like, should it matter? You're just reading comics. That's what we want to see. So, know, it was great.
Such a polite group. That's all. They're a polite group.
You know, everyone's really supportive in there, which is cool. Mm-hmm. So was there, so for Not So Super Labs, was there like a criteria for people that you invited?
A criteria. It's just really all people that I've knew that I knew are contributors, people who do stuff and who would actually be very helpful in responding to questions. And that's really the type of people I do. There was really wasn't a criteria other than they like comics and I know they will respond, and they've been asking for something like this for a while. So I just opened it up and said, hey, come on in and participate.
Yeah. That's awesome. I'm definitely going to like mine that group for like interview opportunities and that kind of stuff. So I hope you don't mind that.
Oh, no problem at all. That's the whole purpose of it. Yeah. I want everyone to meet each other, because I keep hearing every single person that I've added have talked about certain things. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping that the room will make people meet each other and things happen.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just me as a creator. I want people to associate the brand of Not So Super with collaboration and not that much just me trying to make money off of people.
Right. So just let's kind of go back to the beginning, because you have a really interesting story about not only how you got into comics, but like how you got to the US and where you're from, where you grew up and mm-hmm. everything. Why don't you kind of start from the beginning and you know, let the Infamous Podcast audience know who you are and how you got to where you are now?
Okay. I was born in Cameroon, Africa, which is a country right under Nigeria. That's where my dad is from. My mom is from the United States. She's from North Carolina. So both of them met in the university in the U.S., and they went to Africa, to Cameroon, where my dad is. And they lived there for the first 11 years of my life. So first 11 years of my life, I was in another country. And that's where, you know, it was a French speaking country. It was a French colony. So German, French, a whole bunch of different countries. But I spoke over there. I spoke French. But the one thing that tied me over from there to here was actually my love for comic books, because in Cameroon, Africa, surprisingly enough, there is actually more consumption of comic books there than I did when I came in the United States of America.
Oh, wow.
Everywhere I went, there was comics, and they were in French. And my the comics that I remember was Tintin, which is Tintin in French, or in Asterix and Obelix and Pif and Hercule. I don't know if anybody's ever seen that, but those were comic books that I love. But Marvel was big in Africa, in Cameroon, where I lived at. So Marvel, I have imagery in my brain remembering seeing Incredible Hulk and Spider-Man and X-Men. All of those were staples. So I read most of the comics in French in another country. But when I got here in the United States, it was kind of a culture shock, because it was actually less accepting to read comic books when I came here in school than it was when I was younger. So I kind of read that on the side. But my love of comic books has always been with me from Cameroon to the United States. It wasn't until my I would say during college, where I kind of dropped, actually during the middle of high school when I started to drop away for a little bit because of school and all this other stuff, and college because I was getting broke. I haven't been following comics for a bit. But then a few years ago, I got back into, because of my wife, she's a comic book fan. She never read comics. And then one day she was like, oh, I'm just curious about comic books. And it made me remember my love for it again. And I've returned and started reading again. But I started to be interested about independent comics because, as I said before, as much as I love Marvel and DC, I wanted to see some new things, you know, some new non-spandex superhero comics and see what is out there. And I will say that, I'm sorry, shiny stuff all over the place. So my eyes are kind of flying around. but I would say that after looking at Kickstarter and all of that stuff, I was starting to get very interested in independent comics. And that's where the ball started rolling and you started seeing what I'm doing right now.
Yeah. I backed your, like, I don't know. I think I backed every Kickstarter you've done so far. I especially like the stock photography one. That was a good one.
Oh, okay.
So what, I mean, like, at what point did you, like, sit down and say, hey, I'm not connecting, or you know, maybe, like, I'm not connecting with enough characters. Like, at what point did you sit down and say, hey, I want to start writing my own characters? Because, you know, Not So Super was your first book.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a lot of fun. It was it certainly leaves off with a cliffhanger, kind of Spider-Man-y in a way. You know, so where like at what point did you say, hey, I'm gonna write this, and then where did that book come from?
Actually all three of the books, Not So Super, Disc Bites, and Smorgasbord Squad, all three books kind of came out of my brain during the time where my daughter was being born. It was around 4 years ago. And she was on her way to be born during that year, during that 9 months. I've been freelancing and I've had some time on my hands, and I've been telling myself that I will never use her as an excuse for me to never do something. So I knew she was on her way. And I never wanted to tell myself that, you know, I never wanted to tell myself that I could never make a comic book because you got in this world. So it pushed me into writing all the stories that I had in my brain. So I wrote all three stories during that one that year. I've secured artists to work on the comic books. I saved up every single penny I possibly could to get them to work on it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as that really what sparked everything. I really wanted to create something different and something new. And these stories, for example, Not So Super came from my frustration of working a corporate. And I wanted to, that's what forced me to freelance. I was tired of dealing with the headaches and the people. So I wrote the story kind of remembering the fun that I had dealing with people in corporate and not nobody really listening to what I had to say. And it was just a frustration put itself into the comic book. So that's where that came from. And this bite was just a delirious. I was delirious and watching, watching somebody was talking about Twilight, and I was thinking, ah, I wonder what it would be like if a vampire bit a vegan person, and what would happen, you know, what, how weird would that be? So I decided to fix that little piece and write a story about that. And that's where all of them just kind of popped up out of the blue and I started writing.
Yeah. Cool, man. That's really interesting.
No problem.
Yeah. The vampire vegan one, and not to be like huge spoiler or anything, but like the way it ends at his grandma's house and she's kind of like smacking him around, like, you know, you're tougher than this and you get through this. Oh, and there's a cure. And it's like, what did you do to me, Jacques?
And let me just add another little piece of spoiler. His grandma used to be a vampire hunter. That's it. I'll leave that there.
Oh, okay. Cool. That adds a lot then to it. Very cool. Hey, I have a question in the chat from
Trade
Paper Hacks asking, have you ever had any off-putting comic convention experiences?
Off-putting? Oh, actually, I've all three comic book comic cons that I've been to. One went to North Carolina Comic Con, another one Heroes, and another small local one. All three of them were fantastic, actually. I don't know if it's because of how I am with the crowd. Everyone tend to be very friendly when they come to my table. So I never had any off-putting or bad experiences. People generally just come to the table. It might be because I have a humongous banner with a cartoon of me just standing there, and people always look at it and laugh, and they stop and talk to me. So my experience has been pretty good. You know, I sold out every book and every convention I've been to. So
nice.
I have no complaints.
How many books do you bring with you?
75 to 100.
Okay. Cool, man. So of your three little babies here, of the three books, you do you have a favorite?
Child of mine do I love? What?
Yes. This is your Sophie's choice. Gun to your head. Which two get thrown in the burn bin, and which one do you save?
I don't have a favorite. I really don't. I like them all. I really like them all equally for different reasons. Like, I like Not So Super because it's more of my autobiography. I like This Bites because it's ridiculous. And I like Smorgasbord Squad because I just had fun working with both artists on that one. And the ideas they came up with really helped shape it. So all three of them, I like them for different reasons, but I can't choose. I'm sorry.
That's fair.
I love my kids. I love them.
I like Smorgasbord Squad. I showed it to my daughter. She was like, wait, there's a hero who's made out of bacon? I'm like, yeah. It's like the.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah.
I was hungry when I wrote that one. I was starving.
Well, I like how the villains are the hunger pack.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. So, to eat them for breakfast.
So, Not So Super is autobiographical. We've said, like, where do you get the inspiration to write, you know, these outlandish, you know, kind of crazy stories? And then how do you decide who's the best artist to, like, put your vision pen to paper?
I'm incredibly, I would say, almost OCD in terms of searching for artists. If you know me, if you follow me on Twitter, you see I always follow and like artists and share a lot of work for them. On Instagram, I do the same. I just like looking at different artists' work and kind of, I actually write, the weirdest thing about me is that I don't write a story and think of an artist. Instead, I look at artists and their work somehow, I can't even explain it. I can look at an artist and look at their artwork and think in my brain, I can see a story written by them. And actually, some odd reason, I see all the different things they're capable of doing, and I write a story that will fit their art style and what they do. And that's really how I do most of my work, is really I research the different people I would love to work with. I make sure they're available to work with me. And I write a script that's kind of tailored that we both will enjoy it. I will enjoy writing it, and they will enjoy doing the art. And that's how I tend to maintain and keep all the artists to keep wanting to work with me and enjoy the process, because I create something that they have buy-in rather than me forcing them to enjoy the project that I'm working on. So
yeah.
that is pretty much how I work. And I think that might be why Not So Super is getting the success that it's getting, is that I try to work with people and not force people to like what I'm doing, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's really cool. Our pals at Trade Paper Hacks, you know, kind of summed up my thought that you write directly for an artist. You know, that's really cool. You know, that's like writing a script for a particular actor. So it seems kind of atypical of how most, like, especially indie writers go about it. They'll write a script and then they'll like try and find the cheapest like artist that they can.
Exactly. And that's one thing I try to avoid. You know, I'm avoiding it because I'm going to be completely honest. When I first started this thing, I looked at other people and I was trying to emulate the way they do things. I go and look and I'm like, oh, this artist is, you know, doesn't cost that much, you know, and I can. And then I realized the work ended up not being good. None of us are happy. You know, I just rather just save up what I can, have a budget, say, hey, artist, this is how much money I have. Are you willing to work with me? The story would be tailored to what you enjoy doing. And I already know what you're capable of. And the deadline is set on whenever you have the time to end it. Is that we have. So I don't put a lot of pressure on my artists. And that might be why the work looks really good. And it's because I understand the creative process. Being a graphic designer, I understand tight deadlines and the process that I don't force people to, you know, to fit, you know, into into the corporate way of doing things. So that's my perspective on it.
Yeah, great. That's awesome. So another question coming from the comments from Tiny Life Lessons this time. Do you ever do you get overly descriptive in your scripts, or do you let the artist have more of a carte blanche when it comes to character design and things like that?
It depends on the artist, because I've written a lot of different things. Some artists need handholding, others don't. Some enjoy you telling them, you know, want more description because they need to know, you know, how things are laid out, how the room will look like. While others are like, I just say, a room that is similar to something, you know, find a reference point that they will understand. And they pretty much can give me that feeling without me having to give them a huge description. It all depends on who you're working with. You know, some of them needs descriptions, others don't. And I just work with whatever people want to deal with, you know?
Cool. Yeah. So, so where do you find your artists?
Where do I find them?
Like, obviously you don't go to like Fiverr or anything like that.
But. No. most of them actually has been by word of mouth. I work with one artist and they tell me their friends and I see their friends and I send them a message and I'm like, hey, you know, and it's easier that way because their friends will say, he paid me. So you don't have to worry about him not paying you, you know, and it makes life a lot easier, you know, when people know each other. And in other ways, some friends recommend me their friends and say, oh, I do art too. And I have a Rolodex of every single person that interacts and want to work with. Did I say Rolodex?
What? Yeah.
Man, what's happening?
I thought you were like Don Draper for a second. Way back to the
Rolodex. What in the world? I mean, I have a list of people that
like a Twitter list, right?
yeah, I have a Twitter list. I mean, every person that I favorite and everything, I save them and I approach people when they have free time, and that's when, and I see if they have time to want to work with me.
Yeah, cool. when you say you message them, do you reach out like email, Twitter, Facebook, just kind of however you have contact information?
Yeah, however I have contact information. For example, there's a couple of people that I just randomly send messages and I've been lucky. Like, for example, you know, Kayla, who did the Smorgasbord Quad. Mm-hmm. I just happened to just see a Tumblr thing and I just send a message and say, I know this is kind of creepy and you don't know me from anyone, but your art is fantastic. I have a project, blah, blah, blah. Gave full details. And she was actually interested with the script and replied to me. One of the things that I do differently than other is that if I approach someone, it's because I know they're a good artist and I trust that they are not going to run around and steal my script and run away. So I don't wait forever. I just, here's a script. Do you like it? You know, and not, here's a disclosure agreement. I don't, you know, all these things that make people feel like you don't trust them already shuts you off. And if you don't have a budget, I mean, if you already have a budget and you say, here's a script, are you willing? Do you have time? They are more apt to want to work with you than you coming in and saying, are you ready to sign the non-disclosure agreement? Oh, by the way, I don't have much money to pay you. And you know, you're just setting yourself up for failure. What you say?
Have you been burned yet? Have you had?
Not yet. Surprisingly, I have a good track record and cool. I'm happy.
do you send over the whole?
Where's any wood around here? What you say? What you say?
Do you send over the whole script or do you send maybe
I send the whole script.
A treatment? Oh, the whole script.
Get it over with. Yeah, it's just like, read it all. Is this something you're interested in? If they say yes, we work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. Another question from Tiny Life Lessons. Have you ever mm-hmm. approached an artist at like a party, started a conversation, and they're asking you to end up in the friend zone? So I'm hoping like maybe that means you you never actually worked with them, you just became friends.
I am incredibly introverted. I have two kids and a mm-hmm. wife, and I don't go to parties, so I haven't gone to parties in a long time. So I haven't been in the friend zone in that way yet, but I've chatted with a lot of people online, so I haven't gotten to, all the people I've chatted with have, you know, I've became friends with. I have some people that I've chatted with and just ended up being friends with, which is cool. You know, cool. I still work with them one day.
So, Not So Super gets huge, right? Marvel, DC, Image, whoever comes knocking. Mm-hmm. Is there a character that you would just love to write?
Mm. Character that I love to write. Your crowd is gonna hate me because no.
That's fair, man.
I'm honest. You know, I want to write my own stuff. I even stopped myself from sending pitches to other because I just am like, I'm in this to do my own stuff. So that's really all I'm focusing on and all I want to do. I don't really want to do somebody else's work.
So are you taking on other writers through the Not So Super banner right now, or are you just focusing on your own books, finding mm-hmm. the artists to tell your stories?
Right now, I'm focusing to find artists because it's the easiest to control. I want to control because it's fledgling and just starting. It's hard enough to try and herd artists and everyone and ensuring that everyone is in a, you know, it's hard enough trying to make sure everything is going fine to add right. writers to the mix and having to also manage writers. You know, I'm right now, it's simpler for me to write a story, but I ultimately would love to have writers coming in and even people pitching their own stories and which start publishing. But for right now, I want to have a solid base. I want to have a solid fan base. And a good foundation before we go that route.
Cool. I have a couple more questions here. This is great. They're awesome. Trent Paperhacks wants to know, what is the best possible advantage of a network of creators in your industry? I read that wrong. What is the best possible advantage a network of creators in your industry could provide you with? So like what advantage do you get from having like a whole bunch of creators mm-hmm. That you network with?
The best thing is you don't have to repeat mistakes. That's for me, that's the best thing that's ever happened, is that, for example, the group that I've created, the lab, the Not So Super Lab on Facebook, anybody mm-hmm. can join it and I'll approve you if you join it. The group of people have mentioned things to me like where to buy things for cheaper, like for your convention display. Others have mentioned things like, you know, you can save money if you go to this place right now for cars, or don't buy Facebook ads right now when you're just starting, because you're currently wasting money, because people who click on it are just clicking on it just for themselves getting a benefit. Yeah. You're not really getting anything out of it. Just little tips like that you will not typically get. You know, a mm-hmm. network of friends will help you avoid a lot of those issues. And that's the thing I appreciate the most out of it.
Yeah, likes aren't going to help you. You need people going into your page and buying. What's your end game?
My
Life Lessons wants to know, yeah.
Okay, my end game is I would love, because one of the things I didn't mention out of all of this, I have a day job too. And, you know, the day job kind of helped me support some of the things that I'm trying to do. But also I have a family and all this other stuff, a lot of responsibilities. One of the things I want the end game to be is that I can solely focus on Not So Super and it be the whole take up most of my time rather than trying to juggle a day job and juggle publishing, juggle writing. I want to be able to strategically plan where Not So Super goes and be able to follow through on a lot of things, which I'm doing right now, but it's a slower pace than I would love to. Like, for example, I'm trying to make those books into trades. If that was a full-time job, I would have gotten it done like in months, but since I got to go to work and then I come home at the middle of the night, I'm editing things, I'm editing scripts, I'm sending things to artists. It's just, it's not as fast as I want it to. So the end game is I want this to be a full-time thing.
Yeah. I mean, I've learned that like kind of personally from like starting this podcast, you know, like I had to learn how to edit and engineer and, you know, actually get things up on iTunes. Like, you know, I'm like you, I mean, I freelance, I do website design, I do strategy, that kind of stuff, you know, getting the site up and everything was no problem, but like, it took me a solid week and a half to figure out why it wouldn't show up on iTunes. You know,
exactly. So,
like, I feel it. And like, I had to do it after like 9 hours of work and it's like, oh, my brain doesn't work right now. So, yeah. So, hey, Tiny Life Lessons, it was because I was putting spaces in the name of the file and it was putting a 20% sign. So, and it was that percent was the special character and iTunes wouldn't take it. So now I have a naming convention and everything. So, but it, I mean, it's one of those little things. There was like no answer to it. Like I just had to like test. But yeah, so, you know, like we were talking before a little bit before we started recording, like I love all three of these books, you know, all for different reasons. I think one of the coolest things is that they're pretty all ages. Like I didn't have any problem sitting down with my 8-year-old this afternoon and saying, hey, Kidbot, take a look at these and tell me what you think. And, you know, she, like I said, she was over the moon with Smorgasbord Squad and, you know, she's not quite like old enough to like realize she's supposed to love vampires as an American, you know, girl. So, you know, is that intentional? Like, because you're saying is comics for everyone or comics for all. So yeah, is that intentional? Yeah.
It is intentional. Actually, the goal is, I wanted to make stories that grown-ups and kids can read together by themselves, doesn't matter. I just wanted to make books that anybody can read without any hangups because that's the best way I write, you know. And I feel like as a strategy, as an independent creator, that's the best way to go because I want to get the biggest piece of the pie, which is every age, you know. And also and one of the things is I feel like a lot of people feel that the only way to be edgy is to be edgy for adults when you can still be edgy and kids will never get it, but grownups would. You know, there's still ways to do things in which you can have both sides happy. And I enjoy the tightrope and figuring that out and figuring out where the balance is. And, you know, I haven't had a parent mad at me yet. And I've had adults laugh their tails off finding certain things that I didn't even intend that was hilarious, but I was like, oh, well, that's, I see what you mean there. You know, it's, I enjoy that part of it. And I think that's what helps me be creative. And I want to be creative that way.
Very cool. I mean, that's why Pixar is so popular. I mean, it walks that line. So, you know, I feel like that's a good blueprint for like maybe what you're trying to do. So,
yep. Oh, and there's a little piece I forgot to mention about Endgame earlier. Another thing that I'm doing is I'm doing comics, but I'm also working on an animated series pitch thing that I'm working on as well, which is called Floppy Bots. I'm working with Kayla, the artist who did Smorgasbord Squad with me. And we're kind of working on an animated feature, a little small thing, but we have a team of animators and people who are actually working on a 5-minute pitch. So pretty soon y'all will be hearing about that as well. So that's part of the project as well.
Is that something you want to put like up on like YouTube? Will it be on the Not So Super website?
Yep. That's part of what we're trying to go with that as well. I'm just setting the blueprint so that I can find a bunch of writers and artists who want to talk and we can make this actually be something.
You don't want other writers. They're prima donnas and babies. We learned that from our past as like reviewers on massive websites. Jordan, we love you. You know, so great. I mean, the animated series, it's awesome. Comics are awesome. Like, are you going to like stretch further out into like novelizations or like kid type books where it's less, you know, page and panel, where it's like maybe just, you know, like full like graphic things like Berenstain Bears type of stuff?
All of that is in my brain. But right now, here's the order in which the things are going. I want to have Not So Super, This Bites, and Smorgasbord Squad done, because all the fans of those have been like sending me emails and they're like, make it happen. So those are the first three things that I want to get done. I have an anthology that's coming out too, probably towards the end of the year. You saw Mirror. You saw some of those things on Facebook with different artists are writing short snippets of stories that I've written. That's kind of like my book to show the breadth of what I can write, because a lot of the things that people associate me with just being funny, but I have some serious stories and other things that are sci-fi and just a lot of different things into one little book to show people of the different things I can do. But other than that, I'm starting to digress. I forgot where I was going with this.
So, like, Mirror, is it Mirror or Mirrors?
Mirror.
Okay, I'm bad with the S. Anyway, so like, I saw that like teaser image you posted on Facebook, and like immediately asked you, you know, can I share this, because it was amazing. Can you share a little bit about that particular artist? Because the style she has for Mirror is completely different from the rest of the Not So Super line.
Yes. And actually, if you look at when you see the book lineup, everybody is a different artist and very different looks from Not So Super. Because as you were saying, creating a community is something that I really enjoy doing, and I want different artists that I think are very good to have an opportunity to have their stuff shown. Meredith is one of those people. She actually works in the gaming industry, and that's what she did, is gaming art, and she'd never done a comic before. And the art that I sent you, and everyone who has looked at it, they're like, wow, this is amazing. And it was like her first time making comics. So I thought it was a great opportunity for her, because I saw the work that she's done. She's done amazing work. And I was like, there's no reason you can't do this. And like all the other artists, I do the same thing, send a script. Actually, I wrote the script for her because she was not comfortable about like doing some things. I said, what do you like doing? And she told me what stuff she likes drawing and what she's interested in. And I wrote a story around what she said. And that's why the story looks so good, is because she drew from her heart what she really wanted, you know, to see. And that's how I like to work.
I mean, I know you sent me the one image that I'm not allowed to share, which I was blown away by, but the one that I was allowed to share, it's just beautiful. And you're selling prints right now, right?
I will be doing the pre-order in a week. I'm still getting people to vote what they want, but from what I've been looking at, it seems like hers is going to win the vote. But I will be selling prints really soon. It will be for the people who are in the Not So Super lab. They're going to get first dibs at the cheap price, and then people who are outside will pay a little bit more. But I'll be sending prints so that that's one of the ways I'm trying to raise funds to pay the artists so that we can keep making books.
Cool. I think I voted for A and F, which F was Mirror, and A was the Instagram Not So Selfie thing. So
yeah, Justin did a good job on that.
Yeah,
one
that
too.
Was really fun. So, I mean, do you have plans for any conventions outside of North Carolina in the near future? I mean, New York Comic Con is next week. I don't know if you're going or not, but
No, the baby was just born like last month, so right now I'm just like I'm exhausted, so I'm not this year, but next year. Right now I'm trying to do East Coast stuff because it's around me, it's quick and easier. But if another convention invites me and pay my way or pay for my table, I'll go there. But financially right now, I'm East Coast is the quickest, easiest. I can go on weekends and come back home and not have a lot of headaches. But I love to do other conventions.
Yeah. I know I've tried to get you to come to the Cincinnati one a couple times. And it's I think the last two times I tried, you were having babies.
This was in between. That shows how often you talk to me. Just twice, right? That's fantastic.
No, you know what it was? Is I think I asked you like the week before last time. And then I asked you like, I think in May this year. And you're like, no, my wife is due that week. And I'm like, I even offered to let you stay here with us. So, you know.
You always pick the worst time. That's you,
we need to talk to your wife about when the babies come.
Not two kids, is it? Let's avoid convention season. Nah, we'll be good. We'll be good. But I hope to do other conventions. I really do hope I can. That's what I'm working towards.
Cool, yeah.
And no tiny life lessons. I'm not dodging Brian.
I just said that's probably the truth. So, you know, okay, so, like, let's go ahead and, like, you know, I mean, this has been a great interview. I kind of want to open up the rest of the blab room and let these guys hop in. Okay. So real quick, where can people find you online?
Mm-hmm. You can find me at notsosupercomics.com. That's the site you can find me on. I'm on Facebook at Not So Super Comics. You can look for that. Those of you who would like the behind the scenes, understanding how comics are made, or would like to have some connections or talk with me or whatever, Not So Super Labs is a closed group, but if you join it, I'll moderate it and I'll check and I'll approve you in. That is one route. And you could find, and once you're in there, I'm on Facebook. You can add me on Facebook. But that's pretty much it.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you.
Or on Twitter. You can find me on Twitter as JNYEMB, JNYEMB. All right. There too.
And you guys can find this. This will be under the Infamous Podcast. It'll go up on Tuesday, and there'll be a post with links and everything.
All right. So that was Jacques. Like I said, he's a really interesting guy. Make sure you guys go check him out. All right. So you can find us as always at infamouspodcast.com or on Twitter at infamouspodcast, same thing on Facebook. And if you have questions or if you have anyone you want us to try and talk to, email us at theinfamouspodcast@gmail.com. And as always, you know, 5-star reviews in iTunes always help us move up and you know, get more visibility for the show. Make sure you tune in on Thursday. Johnny and I are going to talk about The Martian and all the new Marvel comics that are out this week. All the new comics, but there's a lot of new Marvel ones this week. And yeah, so this is Brian Tudor, and we will see you guys all on Friday. Thanks.